we play a game.
You are some messed up white people.
That's the fact, Jack!
Jerry, just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
But why write a big secret? People are smart. They can handle it.
The person is smart. People are dumb, panicky, dangerous animals, and you know it.
Oh, my. Some words of wisdom from Men in Black. People can be dumb and panicky, and they tend to adopt a mob mentality at times and ignore reality because it makes them feel better. And we're witnessing that happening across our country on the left side of ideology. Good morning. Welcome into The Daily Perspective. Hi there. I'm Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. And I hope you are having a fantastic day so far, wherever that day may be and whenever it is. If you're listening live on Facebook Live this morning, if you're joining in for the fun, hey, thanks for being there. Good to have you along. And if you are listening via some other means, as in, let's say, how about podcasts? That's a way to listen. If you're listening via podcast at some other time, thank you for being there as well. If you are a Google Podcasts subscriber, do me a favor, would you? This is just a heads up. If you've missed any episodes being delivered to you in the last few days, let me know so I can fix that problem, because it came to my attention early this morning. One of our subscribers in Hawaii, a friend of mine named Joel, he let me know that he's getting everything in iTunes, but it's not coming through on his Google device. He's switched not long ago from an iPhone to the Google Pixel, and he didn't get, what was it, Tuesday's show? And part of the reason for that is that we're making this transition. I say we're all together in this, right? Making this transition from the old website delivering to the web, to the podcast host, and the new website delivering to the podcast host. And there's been obviously a hiccup somewhere along the way. And I spent a chunk of time yesterday trying to sort that hiccup out. In fact, I spent several hours sitting in front of my computer trying different things and uploading and refreshing and nuts, it's not there, and uploading and refreshing and it's still not there. And so I spent a great deal of time working on that issue yesterday, and I got things working on the iOS side, the iPhone or Apple side of things, as far as the Apple Store and iTunes is concerned, but apparently it's not working on the Google side of things. And I was trying to check this morning early, but I only have one Google device. I've got this little, I've got a tablet that I bought a couple of years ago to use with my drone as a screen to for controls and adjustments and the like, and to see what the camera sees. And that's the only Google device I have. And I bought it because it was cheap. I bought it at Walmart for like $120. And I mean, you can't touch an iPad for less than $400 unless you go used. And then you're not really sure what you're getting that way sometimes. So the thing is that I was trying to check this morning on that device and the battery's dead because I haven't used it in a long time. So it's charging, and hopefully I'll be able to sort some things out about that later. But listen, if you don't get a podcast, let me know. Go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com and send me a note. There's a contact link right there. You can send me a note and I'll jump right on it as quickly as possible. Because I spend my time around the studio most days. I'm really close. If I'm not in the studio, I'm very close by. And if I get a note, I can just make a move to the studio and take a look at things. If I'm not, that means I'm out and about, and it'll be a little while before I get back. But as soon as I get back, the first thing I do is go to the studio and check on things. So I apologize to you if you didn't get a podcast over the last couple of days. All right. Moving forward. What else is there? There was something else I was going to talk about before I go diving into Mueller and more Mueller and the Planned Parenthood getting four Pinocchios and the like. What else is there? Oh yeah. I didn't tell you about this, but this is just from the personal file. I have had an Apple Watch since not long after the first version came out, Generation 1. In the beginning, I thought, well, that's nuts. Who's going to spend that much money on a watch? I did. And the thing is that I spent the money because when the watch came out, I thought there's no way on earth. And then around Christmas time, I wound up with enough gift cards and cash and things from various people who know the best thing to do for me is just to give me money to spend. You know, that's because it's one size fits all and everybody's favorite color. So I ended up with enough to add to a little I had squirreled away, and I bought an Apple Watch, and I've worn it every day since I got it, that Christmas after it came out. It has been on my wrist nonstop, except for when I'm sleeping, and if I am in, you know, if I'm going to get wet, I just wear it all the time. Well, one day last week, I had been out in the heat. I had taken the little Miata convertible out, and it was in the low 90s, and I'd been outside in the sun. I'd been sweating. The watch got hot, and when I got back, I had gone to the fridge to fix a to grab something, and I noticed something was wrong because I saw something flopping around on my left wrist. It was the face of the watch. It fell off. I was just, what is this? It was dangling by a cable. And it seems that the heat and the moisture and everything finally got to the adhesive that holds the front of the watch on, and it just said, I'm out of here, and it fell off. And so the first thing I did was, oh, great. This is going to be costly. And I looked up how much it costs if you take it back to Apple and have them work on it. It's a couple of $100. And they don't actually work on it. They just hand you a refurbished one or mail you a refurbished one. So you spend $200, they send you a refurb watch. Well, that option's out. I'm not spending $200 more when I could add a little more to that and get a brand new watch. And then I looked at eBay. So who's got these on eBay? Woo-hoo! You can get them for less than $100 on eBay. Secondhand, first generation watches. And then it hit me. Wait a minute. This is an Apple device. I bet it can be fixed. And I bet there's a way to do it myself. And so I did a quick search. And lo and behold, a website I have used in the past to repair other Apple devices and to look for instructions on how to deal with certain issues had the answer. It's a website called iFixit.com. I went to iFixit.com. They have videos. They have step-by-step instructions. They have the adhesive ring. It's not a ring. It's a little rectangle. But they have the adhesive piece that goes in to reattach the watch face. They have the little tool that you need to open the clips that hold the cables in place and then close them again. And they have everything you need. And for about $13.50, I got everything I needed to fix the watch. It arrived yesterday in the mail. And I promptly destroyed something else trying to fix it. So now I still don't have a watch. Then I just spent another $30 to order the part I destroyed and another tool to remove that part and to replace it. So maybe by this weekend I'll have my watch back up and running again. Now, I'm not intimidated by working on stuff like this because I have built micro quadcopters as a hobby. I have done, you know, I've been soldering and patching and fixing things for most of my life. So I'm not intimidated by diving in and fixing something and knowing that if I didn't fix it, for under $100, I could get another watch. You know, I'll just scrape some stuff together and tuck money away until I've got enough money to buy one on eBay and I'll get another one because I'm addicted now. I see the Apple's got me because I've become very accustomed to having this thing. I turn my wrist and look at it, and it's got the time, it's got the date, it's got the day of the week, it's got the current temperature outside, it's got everything at one glance right there on my wrist, and it also responds to the phone so that I silence my phone a lot of the times. I spend a lot of time in the studio, so my phone is silenced while I'm in the studio, he said, clicking his phone to silent mode because he forgot. And the watch vibrates if the phone rings or if you get a text message or something like that. So I know what's happening and I don't miss important notifications. Like if my wife needs me for something or something like that, then, you know, and I've talked about my mom. She's in her 80s and needs help nowadays. So if I'm working in the studio and microphones are open and the watch is, the phone is muted, then the watch lets me know, oh, I need to tend to something. And it also vibrates to let you know when you need to turn right or left if you're following directions to some place that you're not familiar with. And I'm just accustomed to it being there and doing these things. So, yeah, I'm hooked. Apple got me. But here we go. Hopefully in the next couple of days, I've got the shipping notification. It's been shipped by USPS, so I'll never know where it is until it arrives. But still, even though I have a tracking number, I won't know where it is until it gets to my mailbox. But it should be here in the next day or so, and hopefully I'll stop shaking and twitching. Hey, I want to talk a lot today about, well, a lot. I want to talk about Robert Mueller's farewell address, this oddball thing that he did yesterday where he spoke for 8 or 9 minutes to the cameras and didn't take questions. I want to talk about that. There's a very, very good article written by Ben Shapiro, and you're probably familiar with Ben Shapiro. He is a very savvy guy, and I don't agree with him 100% of the time, but he's got some very good takeaways, key takeaways from what happened yesterday with Robert Mueller, and I want to talk about those. I also want to talk about how the liberals are having a meltdown right now. They're furious with Nancy Pelosi because of her response to the statement. I want to talk about how the president of Planned Parenthood told a whopper, just a whopper, and earned herself 4 Pinocchios from none other than the Washington Post. And the Washington Post is friendly to Planned Parenthood. I want to talk about that. And at some point later in the show, in this morning's hour, I want to share with you the audio from a video recorded by James O'Keefe for Prager University, which I think is very important. It's very revealing, and it gives us a perspective on the state of American news media today and reinforces what I've been telling you, and that is that they cannot be trusted. I want to get to that, and maybe we'll have time for some other things as well. But first, I want to deal with something that is concerning my home state where I live, and that's the state of Alabama. And that is that former Chief Justice of the state of Alabama, Roy Moore, is talking about running for the Senate again. And we all remember 2 years ago what happened, that the Democrat Party got behind Doug Jones and they threw millions of dollars at defeating Roy Moore. And they did so in probably the nastiest, dirtiest, most salacious way possible. They made accusations. They hired a Hollywood ambulance chaser, a lawyer, who stood before the cameras with a weeping person and said horrible things about Roy Moore. And then as soon as Roy Moore was out of the picture, they all disappeared. Not a peep from them. Gloria Allred dropped her case, stopped representing her client. And you would have thought that she would have pursued that a little further, because people like Gloria Allred don't do things if there's no money involved. So you follow the money. And it's absolutely dead certain that this accuser, this woman, didn't have the money to pay Gloria Allred. So we know it had to come from the DNC. Well, aside from that, President Donald Trump warned Republicans that they need to win the Alabama Senate seat up for grabs in 2020 if they want to preserve the achievements that the Trump administration has made, but added he did not think former Alabama Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Moore was the man for the job. In a pair of tweets published yesterday morning, Trump called on Republicans to take back the Senate seat currently held by Senator Doug Jones, and he pointed out that whoever is elected to the position will be holding it for 6 years, not just two. And the takeaway from this is that Trump and many savvy Republicans are saying they're trying to tell Chief Justice Roy Moore, please don't do this. And I agree, because the Democrats have already shown us what they will do. And they'll do again. And we've already seen that enough people were bamboozled by them then to put Doug Jones in office. Can you imagine what they'll do next time? We can't handle 6 years of the same. We need to be sane about this. We need to think. More after the break, when the Daily Perspective continues.
Prepare to be shocked when you encounter scenes of colossal decadence.
I almost guarantee it, maybe.
Yeah!
I almost guarantee it, maybe. All right, then. Hey, listen, don't take me the wrong way here, all right? I don't think that Judge Roy Moore, former Justice Roy Moore, did the things he was accused of. I don't. And I don't think those accusations are the reason he should not run. I think he should not run because there are enough people out there who believed those accusations, and they will vote against him again. And I believe that the Democrat machine is already geared up to grind him into a powder if he chooses to run again. So I think it is best that we head another direction. And I'll go back to this article and quote President Trump's tweet. He said, Republicans cannot allow themselves to again lose the Senate seat in the great state of Alabama. This time it will be for 6 years, not just two. He went on to say he has nothing against Moore and that he wanted him to win the seat in 2017. He did not believe that the former state Supreme Court justice would win in 2020. And I agree. I think as much as Chief Justice Roy Moore may want to clear his name and win and prove himself to the state of Alabama, I just think that the way his campaign was handled the last time was weak. And the machine, the Democrat machine, that incredibly huge, corrupt machine that has no ethics and no morals, is ready to do even worse than it did last time. And I think we need somebody in place that can win the election, can defeat Doug Jones, and move us forward. And we have to look at things that way. We just have to. And that's all I'm trying to say about that. Please understand, I have spent time with Chief Justice Roy Moore in a radio studio on more than one occasion. I have listened to him speak about the Constitution and our founding fathers. He is a very wise man. He's a very capable person. I just think the Democrats are not trustworthy and that they will do things which will make it impossible for a Republican to win here if he's the one. So that's the way I have to look at it. Okay? All right. Now, on to the news from yesterday. Robert Mueller stepped forward before the TV cameras, which was in itself very odd, and had a few things to say. He spent about 8 or 9 minutes talking to the cameras and not taking questions. By the way, as an aside, he declined to testify before the committee in Congress, and he didn't take questions yesterday. And the reason being, I'm just going to spell it out here, I'm just going to be plain about it, he knows that if he's challenged, he can't stand up to the challenge. He knows that if he is questioned by Republicans, it'll reveal exactly where he's coming from and why he did what he did. That's why he won't appear. And I think that the Republicans in the Senate Judiciary Committee, should subpoena the man and have him escorted to their chambers and grill him like a burger. Because there's a lot that's been going on that shouldn't have been going on. Now, in an article on the Daily Wire written by Ben Shapiro, I'm looking at the clock here. This is going to take a couple of segments to get through, so just bear with me. Let me just dive in here. On Wednesday, special counsel Robert Mueller finally emerged from the shadows to make a declaration. He's leaving, and he's taking the dog. According to Mueller, his job here is finished since his 448-page report on Russian election interference and Trump administration obstruction has concluded. What's more, according to Mueller, the country is better off for the Mueller investigation having taken place. Despite 2 years, billions of dollars in media coverage, and no actual conclusion. Well, then, there were a few key messages in Mueller's valedictory. One, Mueller's original brief was limited. Mueller began his statement by recognizing that his original brief was to investigate Russia's interference in the 2016 presidential election. He proceeded to outline the fact that this interference was highly damaging to the political process. Quote, as alleged by the grand jury in an indictment, Russian intelligence officers who are part of the Russian military launched a concerted attack on our political system, end quote. All of this is fine and dandy. There's little controversy over any of it. Point two, Mueller's investigation never should have included obstruction by Trump. Mueller then moved on to his explanation of his investigation of obstruction. Unlike the election interference investigation, which began as a counterintelligence investigation inside the FBI, the obstruction investigation began as a criminal investigation, and a criminal investigation that Mueller admits he never had the authority to conclude. Mueller stated, regarding Russian interference, quote, it was critical for us to obtain full and accurate information from every person we questioned. When a subject of an investigation obstructs that investigation or lies to investigators, it strikes at the core of their government's effort to find the truth and hold wrongdoers accountable. End quote. That would be true of Trump's associates. That would not be true of Trump himself. Mueller recognizes that he never had the authority to indict a sitting president. He explained, under long-standing department policy, a president cannot be charged with a federal crime while he's in office. That is unconstitutional. Even if the charge is kept under seal and hidden from public view, that too is prohibited. A special counsel's office is part of the Department of Justice, and by regulation, it was bound by that department policy. Charging the president with a crime was therefore not an option we could consider. Yet, Mueller proceeded to write about 200 pages about Trump himself and his conduct. This means that Mueller spent tens of millions of dollars and years of time investigating unindictable conduct. So what the bleep was he doing? Mueller provided two separate explanations for the investigation of Trump's conduct. First, he said the investigation was permitted because it is, quote, important to preserve evidence while memories are fresh and documents are available, end quote. Evidence of what, though? A crime? But Mueller refused to allege a crime. So evidence of something that wasn't prosecutable right now and that Mueller refused to suggest amounted to a crime for the future. Mueller himself said that the investigation was justified because perhaps it would have resulted in evidence that, quote, could be used if there were co-conspirators who could be charged now, end quote. But Mueller didn't charge co-conspirators in obstruction. This is bizarre, at least. Mueller's second justification is more obvious. He essentially said he was doing Congress's impeachment work for them. Their groundwork, I should say. Quote, the Constitution requires a process other than the criminal justice system to formally accuse a sitting president of wrongdoing, he said. This is an invitation to impeachment. And as an aside, I'll say, you've seen that jumped on since he said this. Everybody who thinks they can get any camera time and any appearance on the news has said, that means we need to impeach. Practically all of the Democrats running for president have said so. The rabid foaming at the mouth leftists in Congress have said so. And then you've got Pelosi and Schumer positioning themselves as the older, wiser people. And as I said the other day, Pelosi for sure and Schumer, they're playing roles. They know what they can do and they can't do. back to the article. But that's not Mueller's job. He's a member of the executive branch. He's not an independent counsel. He's not a legislative investigator. A criminal investigation that cannot possibly result in charges is a conflict in terms. Mueller never should have agreed to such an investigation under the law. And Mueller's own standard makes that clear. Point three, Mueller wants Trump to go down, but he wouldn't call for prosecution. Mueller infamously stated that there was insufficient evidence to charge a broader conspiracy. So far, so good. That's a prosecutorial statement in prosecutorial language. But then, Mueller wildly exceeded his brief. In fact, he pulled a James Comey. He effectively indicted Trump for supposed non-crimes publicly, the same way Comey did Hillary Clinton. Of course, he said he would never do that. Quote, it would be unfair to potentially accuse somebody of a crime when there can be no court resolution of the actual charge. End quote. That's pretty rich, coming just paragraphs after Mueller accused Trump of a non-crime without the possibility of resolution of the actual charge. He said, if we had had the confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime. We concluded that we could not reach a determination one way or the other about whether the president committed a crime. Trump's opponents have hung their hats on this statement to show that Trump only escaped prosecution because he was the president and because the Department of Justice regulations. But that's not quite right. In actuality, Mueller said that DOJ regulations created a threshold barrier to a decision. He had no right to make a decision, he said, because no prosecution was available. Thus, he made no decision. And we'll pick this up after the break. There's still the rest of this point and another one to move through. And this is good stuff. It's food for thought.
Now then, I'm going to do something I call the compliment sandwich, where I say something good, then talk about where you need improvement, and then end with something good.
Whatever you gotta do.
Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Been talking about the statement made by Robert Mueller yesterday, where he spent 8 to 9 minutes appearing before the news cameras, the press. And since then, the leftist press and every leftist in politics has spun up into insanity mode, demanding impeachment of the president of the United States. And just to clarify what this all is, in case you weren't already aware, this is just to keep him from being reelected. They can't succeed in impeachment because Republicans control the Senate. It has to go through both houses. And since Republicans control the Senate, and there are not enough Never Trumpers in the Senate to keep it from succeeding, or to help it succeed, it'll never pass. So this is all this is publicity. It's the circus. It's political theater. That's what this is. It is making as big a stink as possible to influence low information voters. And you know who those people are because they're in your social media and you see them posting. I saw yesterday my liberal friends posting on social media the key takeaway statements, these little statements that they pulled out of Mueller's appearance yesterday, which, standing by themselves out of context and ignoring everything we know to be true, they are very damning. And that's what the left is hoping will happen, that they can sway more people against President Trump so that he can't succeed and he can't win in the 2020 election. Now, right now, they just have a clown car full of candidates. Joe Biden is a ludicrous choice. There's no way they can win against Donald Trump because of what he's done for the country. So they have to make him as dirty as possible. As I explained to my wife last night, we were talking about this last night. They're hoping to use this like they use the Billy Bush tape, where he talked about grabbing women, talked about kissing and grabbing women. And the left has taken that, and they still, even today, they refer to that as sexual assault. But when you actually listen to the words, he said, and they let you. When he used those words, and they let you, he clearly was not talking about assault. He was talking about groupies. And groupies have been around for as long as there have been people appearing in public who become famous. Just, if you want to know about groupies, just find some rock and roll legends autobiography, and there'll be a chapter on groupies and the things they did with them. And they pursue people. That's who Trump was talking about. It wasn't assault. But they used that to sully his name, and even today they use it as an accusation when it holds no water. It just doesn't. And that's what they're trying to do with the Mueller investigation. It failed. But Robert Mueller stepped before the cameras yesterday and did something which he did not have to do. He did something which I believe was clearly for the purpose of giving the Democrats permission to pursue impeachment. I believe that's why he did this. Let's back up a little bit in the article. Trump's opponents have hung their hats on that statement that I read to you a while ago to show that Trump only escaped prosecution because he was the president and because of the Department of Justice regulations. But that's not quite right. In actuality, Mueller said that the DOJ regulations created a threshold barrier to a decision. He had no right to make a decision, he said, because no prosecution was available. Thus, he made no decision. Instead, he decided to publicly say he could not exonerate Trump. Now, presumably that remark was directed toward Trump's statements that he had been totally exonerated, but it was partisan and inappropriate for a man of Mueller's stature. The comments effectively shifted the burden of proof from Mueller to Trump himself. And I have to say, you know, in our system of government, you're innocent until proven guilty. The prosecution has to prove your guilt. And what he did was he put the shoe on the other foot, which is not acceptable. He also said the DOJ regulations, I mean, talking about the regulations that he couldn't prosecute because he's the president. Bill Clinton was prosecuted. That's just something to think about. It's not Mueller's job to exonerate anyone. It's his job to prosecute or not prosecute. Instead, he told everyone that Trump might be prosecutable, but he couldn't really say, but still there might be impeachment available. The proper language here would have been the same as the language surrounding collusion. Quote, insufficient evidence, end quote. But instead, Mueller refused to say even that. Was any of this supposed to be in the purview of Mueller's activity? And finally, number four, Mueller didn't expose Barr as a perjurer or obstructor of justice. Barr stated in public testimony that Mueller told him, quote, several times in a group meeting that he was not saying that, but for the OLC opinion, he would have found obstruction, end quote. Here, Mueller stated that he could not prosecute and that he would not say whether Trump had committed a crime. These two statements are not actually in conflict. Mueller may well have told Barr that he had not reached a determination on obstruction and that he saw no reason to do so. That's what he told the public, after all. Furthermore, Mueller explained that he didn't question Barr's good faith in his decision to make the entire report public at all at once. So much for Barr's supposed obstruction. Then, Mueller said that he was out, done, finito. He explained that, having created a political Rorschach test, he would now act like Watchman's Rorschach. Quote, all the whores and politicians will look up and shout, save us, and I will look down and whisper, no, end quote. Mueller stated, quote, the report is my testimony. I would not provide information beyond that, which is already public, and any appearance before Congress In addition, access to our underlying work product is being decided in a process that does not involve our office. Wow, I have to stop here. I would not provide information beyond that which is already public in any appearance before Congress. You realize, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but he has declined to testify before the House Judiciary Commission. He has declined that. He won't. And Jerry Nadler is not making him. He's accepted that. Now, if Mueller could be trusted to condemn the president on cross-examination by Republicans in that setting, you can bet he would be there. Jerry Nadler would make a show of putting him on the stand on television, and he would be on every news network because they're all hungry for something to condemn Trump with. But they all know, Mueller and Nadler and the rest of the Democrats know, that Mueller would end up being asked some questions, some very inconvenient questions by Republicans, and that certain things would be revealed on television in front of everybody who cared to watch. These things would be revealed, and people would understand that there were some very dark shenanigans going on, and that this investigation never should have taken place because there was nothing to investigate, that it was all fabricated by the Democrat Party and the Obama administration on behalf of Hillary Clinton. That's why he's not testifying, and that's why I hope the Senate Judiciary Committee has him escorted in to be grilled like a hamburger. Finally, did Mueller clarify anything? Only that he exceeded his original mandate, that after conducting a thorough investigation, he was willing to inject himself into the political process rather than sticking to his role. That's damning not just for Trump, who will now have to face down Democrats calling for his political head, but for a career prosecutor. Who decided that the business of criminal prosecution was too difficult and that he'd prefer to serve as a road builder for impeachment. Wow. So Mueller stepped beyond what he was supposed to do, and he has clearly laid the path for the Democrats to pursue impeachment. Now, will that happen? A lot of posturing candidates are talking about making that happen. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is barking up that tree. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are playing the part of the older, wiser members and trying to keep their people under control. Maxine Waters is still barking like the rabid animal that she has been playing in public for quite some time. And they're all screaming impeachment, impeachment, impeachment. And Robert Mueller, yesterday, did them a huge favor. And people who have been paying attention from the beginning understand exactly what happened. It's a sad day in the United States of America because so many people today are so ill-informed that the Democrats believe they can do this and they can get away with it. And you know what? They just might. But remember, during the Clinton impeachment process, America got such a bad taste in their mouth. They decided they didn't want Republicans representing them anymore, and the Republicans lost seats. And that's exactly what will happen if the Democrats keep pushing.
Mr. Personality starts now.
Really? Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here with you. Hoping you're having a terrific Thursday. Hey, We just got another day or so ahead of us, and then the weekend's on us. Hang in there. You'll make it. All right? Okay. Oh, my. I mentioned before Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, and the left is very unhappy with Nancy Pelosi right now. She offered a statement excoriating President Donald Trump after the public statement by Special Counsel Robert Mueller, and she was lambasted on social media over it by liberals. Pelosi released a statement after the briefing, but did not even mention the word impeachment in the text. Quote, Mueller stated that the decision not to indict stemmed directly from the Department of Justice's policy that a sitting president cannot be indicted, she says in the statement. Going on, despite the Department of Justice policy to the contrary, no one is above the law, not even the president, end quote. Although many Democrats have already called for impeachment proceedings to begin against Trump, Pelosi has cautioned them against moving too quickly. In a public statement on Wednesday, she reiterated the point, quote, we won't be swayed by a few people who think one way or another who are running for president, as much as I respect all of them, and they have the freedom to be for impeachment. We have the responsibility to get a result for the American people, and that's where we're going. Democrats and other opponents of the president fumed at Pelosi for not rushing headlong into impeaching the president. Something is very wrong with Pelosi's answers today. That's according to former Florida Democratic candidate Pam Keith. She goes on to say, does she have no idea who she serves, who her base is, what her legacy will be, what the job demands? Ooh. She goes on to say, something is really off here. No way should we be begging her to do what virtually every lifelong Dem would do instinctually. Progressive commentator Cenk Uygur, of the Young Turks, remember them, went so far as to claim that Pelosi was not a progressive because even Republican Representative Justin Amash from Michigan, he's been a never-Trumper from the beginning, by the way, was advocating impeachment more than she was. He said, she's now proved my point spectacularly. When Representative Justin Amash is to the left of you, you might not be a progressive. Gosh. And it goes on and on and on. The left is very unhappy with Nancy Pelosi's statement. They are. This is like sharks smelling blood in the water. They stop thinking and start attacking. And even though they are playing the role, you can bet that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer over in the Senate would like nothing more than to go through the process of impeaching the president and removing him from office. But they know it won't happen. As I stated earlier, it has to get past the Republican-controlled Senate, and it won't. It just won't happen. And what will happen if they pursue this is that it will leave a bad taste in the mouth of voters. They're already sick of the show. This dog and pony show has worn itself very thin. People are really, really tired of this. Survey after survey is indicating that the majority of people want the Democrats to move on. They've done nothing. They've accomplished nothing. Since the midterm election, they have accomplished nothing. Nothing except posturing and posing for the news media and doing everything they can to make Trump look as dirty as possible. They've done nothing. We have a border crisis. We have an infrastructure problem. We have states going rogue and allowing illegal immigrants to stay in them and protecting them from federal prosecution. We have so many things happening in this country that need to be dealt with, and the Democrats are focused on one thing and one thing only, and that is demonizing the President of the United States and making it impossible for him to govern. They said this from the beginning. Remember when he won? The leftists, the people on the radical left, all of them in unison practically said, we will make it impossible for him to govern this nation. And that's what they're trying to do. If they can't remove him, they'll make it impossible for him to do his job. And that's what they're doing. Now, let's move forward here. I just had to bump a story. So please get the show notes today. The president of Pan Planned Parenthood has told a huge lie, and you need to know what that is. Actually, I just bumped two stories. There's a Christian university that has responded to students who voted for the school to ban Chick-fil-A. They've just basically told them, get over it. So Chick-fil-A is going on the campus anyway. And then there's this. This will take us up to practically the end of the program. James O'Keefe has a video. He's the founder and president of Project Veritas. And he explains in his video called American Media, Soviet Tactics for PragerU, why fewer and fewer people are trusting modern-day journalism.
The communist government of the former Soviet Union thought that by controlling access to information, they could keep their citizens in line. Consistent with the Orwellian nature of the Soviet Union, the country's most important newspaper was Pravda. Pravda is the Russian word for truth. But Pravda was not truth. It was full of lies. But here's the thing. Almost no one in the Soviet Union was fooled. They knew they were being lied to. Ironically, unlike most citizens in the Soviet Union, citizens in 21st century America are fooled by their news media. We think we're getting the real story from our major media, but we're not. When we tune into the networks or read the New York Times or the Washington Post, we're actually getting a sharply slanted version of the news. Slanted to the left. This should deeply concern people on both sides of the political divide. To make informed decisions, a free society needs a press it can trust, not one that is hopelessly biased. In 2017, Project Veritas sent out undercover reporters to see how committed the major media was to objective news gathering, specifically as it regarded the newly elected president, Donald Trump. Our first report focused on CNN. A producer there, John Bonifield, acknowledged the lack of evidence for his network's efforts to link the Trump campaign and the Russian government in a plot to rig the 2016 election. Bonifield told us, "I think the president is probably right to say, like, look, you are witch hunting me. You have no smoking gun. You have no real proof." CNN so relentless in hammering the Russia collusion narrative, ideology, the election wasn't legitimate, and ratings. As Bonifield noted, the Trump-Russia collusion story was good for business. Next, we released another series of reports, these on the New York Times. First, we heard from Nick Dudick, the paper's audience strategy editor. Dudick told our undercover reporter he was responsible for choosing which New York Times videos go on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Dudick boasted, "My imprint is on every video we do." And what was that imprint about? As Dudick, who worked on both the Obama and Hillary Clinton campaigns, told our reporter, he hoped to use his position to make the president's life as difficult as possible. "I will be objective," he told our reporter with undisguised sarcasm before revealing his true intentions. "No, I'm not. That's why I'm here." Dudick told us he returned to journalism precisely in order to remain politically active. Next, we met Des Shu, an editor for the paper. She made it clear where she stood. "I think one of the things that maybe journalists were thinking about is like, oh, if we write about Trump and how insanely crazy he is and how ludicrous his policies are, then maybe people will read it and be like, oh, wow, we shouldn't vote for him." According to the Times' own handbook on journalistic ethics, journalists may not do anything that damages the Times' reputation for strict neutrality in reporting on politics and government. So given such a breach of the Times' own standards, we expected the newspaper to come down hard on Dudick and Shu. Instead, they came down hard on us. Executive editor Dean Baquet said I was a despicable person for recording one of his employees telling the truth. Yet, when the Times publicized a 2012 undercover video of Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney saying that 47% of Americans wouldn't vote for him because they were dependent on the government, they praised it as offering a rare glimpse of Romney's personal views. In fact, in his attack on us, Baquet unwittingly gave the whole American media game away. A real journalist, he told a panel at the National Press Club, has to have in his or her heart a desire to make society better. The Times' editor is wrong. Real journalists want to pursue the truth. Then they let the citizens use that truth to build a better society. When journalists shape news to fit their vision of a better society, they're not doing their job. Perhaps this wouldn't be so bad if the major media would just admit their political motives. But they don't. On behalf of their own narrow agenda, they lie, distort, and exaggerate. And they expect us to call it Pravda. But with each passing day, fewer and fewer Americans are willing to do so. I'm James O'Keefe, founder and president of Project Veritas for Prager University.
I thought it was important to share that with you today. And I just shared the link to that with everybody who is on Facebook Live. And it'll be in the show notes today as well. You need to be aware what's really going on in the leftist news media. They have an agenda. And it is not to tell you the truth. It's to convince you that what they say is the truth. And you're better off by not listening. And that's it for today. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on the Friday edition of The Daily Perspective.
Oh, we're done.